Joining us on the line now is J.D. Mass. He's heavily involved in white anti-racism groups in the US. His work inspired him to write the book Race for What? It's part memoir, part how-to, and the book provides stories with a unique perspective from a white man's experience and his idea for seven steps to healing. He's been on a lifelong journey to learn why racism was created and what we can look forward to without it. Welcome to the show, J.D.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks very much for joining us. Great to have you with us. So tell us a little bit about your experiences growing up, because you grew up in a black community, I understand, and witnessed a lot of racism.
So my parents purposely wanted to raise me around black folks so that I had a different experience than the segregated life that they grew up in. And they chose a suburb of St. Louis that was a mixed community. However, the school district, most of the white families sent their children to private schools. And so the school district was majority black. And majority of my friends, if not all of them, my closest friends were black.
How interesting. And how do you think that formed your childhood? You know, what kind of experience do you think that had on you?
So I got to experience the welcomeness of the black community, families welcoming me into their home. It was a very encouraging environment for me to just kind of be the best me I could be. And it was very comfortable for me to find myself within that. And I also got to experience what, you know, seeing my privilege and the difference in how I was treated in society versus when I was with my friends or how they were treated. So, that's what led me on this journey to figure out why that was.
Fascinating. So how were you treated and how were they treated? What differences did you notice?
So I noticed, for instance, I speak about in the book how I was able to return things back to the mall without any question when they were denied. I often would meet them in the parking lot and take back shoes or clothes that they were denied returning to the same person within minutes of them being denied. I was easily able to return those.
Wow. How awful. Isn't that horrendous?
Yes.
Gosh. So you saw lots of things like that, did you?
Did. And the way, you know, I was able to speak to police versus how they were treated or how we were treated when I was not with them versus with them. It was night and day.
Gosh. And people, you hear a lot of people saying, well, it's not as bad as it used to be. You know, we've come a long way. You don't necessarily agree with that, no?
So one, I don't think that's a good excuse for not healing the harms of racism. And I think, you know, just it still is adding on to, even if you're saying that it's not as bad, we're still adding on until we actually take an intentional approach to repair the harm and really learn more from each other and how to appreciate one another. Then we're just fooling ourselves into thinking that it's not as bad because we haven't repaired the harm that was done to create the disparities.
And what about the impact of the Black Lives Matter movement?
So I think what is happening with that has been great as far as the conversation is being held in many levels across different platforms. But the real intentional repair still is far from happening, to me anyway.
And you mentioned privilege earlier. That's a phrase, white privilege. We've heard a lot about that in recent years. How would you explain that?
So I would explain that it's easy for us to go through life and see things happening the way we expect them to happen versus having to come out of your right. The design of the system is for us from how, you know, we get treated in hotels with things, with products that were made for us, to just going through, you know, the process of loans and everything else that this system made it so that we see life as we are, and as we've created it to be, versus really understanding what other cultures go through and having to learn about those and having to navigate through a system that's designed to see us as the color of the skin we are when we walk out the house. And so we don't have to think about that. We don't have to talk about our whiteness, but we have to, but as other cultures go through our system, they have to know who they are entering into our world at all times.
It's really amazing that you've been able to see and understand that other side, because for a lot of white people, they don't sort of understand or realize that they are privileged because they've never experienced what it's like to not be privileged. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the privilege, right?
yeah, exactly. So how do your friends feel about you writing this book? You know, have you had a lot of support from the Black community?
Sure, I have an appreciation for, you know, what I'm attempting to do as far as conversation and moving the process forward towards a state of healing.
And what is this process? Is seven steps? Is that right?
Yes. So step one is to really look at what could have caused folks of having less melanated skin to want to create a system that says that we are superior, and what goes on in that process of what I would consider bullying at the highest level. If we had a bully in a school or whatnot, we would want to know what happened to that child to make them want to cause harm to somebody else in order to uplift themselves and their own feelings. And so I want us to look into the psychology of that. I want us to acknowledge the harm of the individualism that came out of this sort of scarcity mentality that we've developed, this scarcity economic system that we've developed. Instead of where melanated folks live, there was an abundance, and that abundance created a willingness to share. And so how could we also learn to appreciate those folks while letting go of our desire for control, our privileges, and our fears of change and what that might look like? And if we could appreciate the value of others, if we learned how to, if we learned more about other cultures and from a curious standpoint, if we appreciated that value, then repairing the harm comes with a value added to it. So we're not just seeing it as a cost. We're seeing reparations as being valuable. And from there, we could be led by a new mind that shows us how to live in a more harmonious life, which would lead us to the last step of humanity.
Do you think a lot of people are in denial about their racism? Do you think if somebody said, "Are you racist?" you know, a lot of people hopefully would say no, but do you think that there's a bit of denial there?
I do, in that I think that they don't want to be, and without really understanding until we repair that harm that's been caused, and until we really look at even just the individualism and the separatism of our culture and the harm of our relationships, period. There's a lot of violence going on in the world. There's a lot of deceptive practices and harmful things that we innately do that we don't want to acknowledge because it makes us feel bad as a person. But if we start to see that there could be a different way of doing things, that we don't have to just identify it as racist being, oh my goodness, I'm a bad person, but oh, there's been a culture that we should be looking at how we can improve upon.
Yeah, it's, I mean, sadly, I guess there'll always be people that don't want to change their opinion and, you know, don't want to see people and skin colour in a different way. And that's obviously the hardest thing, isn't it? If people are willing to change and willing to see things differently, then that's fantastic. But I guess, sadly, there'll be people that don't.
Yes. And so, you know, my goal is to work and find those that want to help, even if I can open up a light to see the value of the change, and then changing the values of our approach and seeing that they could actually have a more improved life, and it would be better for us all.
Absolutely. I've just had a message from someone saying, please pass on my thanks to your guest speaker for talking and analysing how black people are treated versus white folks on the radio. So thank you. I'm passing that on to you.
Well, thank you.
So how long have you been working on the book for? How big a project has this become?
Well, it's taken on different steps, and I started writing one version of it 5 years ago, and then I lost my notebook, or it was stolen in a backpack. And then I was working with a writer because I never saw myself as a writer, and he was too busy and couldn't get around to it. And finally, I tried to hire somebody else to help me write it, and they said, nope, I'll help you edit it, but you need to do this. And so in November of 2020 is when I started this, what became Race for What.
Fantastic. And also with another hat on, if you like, you worked for many years as Nelly's business manager, the rapper Nelly.
Sure.
Yeah. What was that like?
So one, he's one of my friends, closest friends from childhood that we grew up together. He's on the cover kneeling next to me in the photo on the cover from our prom. And I was entrepreneurial, and we kind of all were in our way. And so when he became famous and started to earn money at that level, he brought me on to want to do some entrepreneurial projects with him. And then I got more and more involved in his career for a while, for the first 4 years. It was a very exciting time. I always had in the back of my mind how I wanted to use it to gain positions of power and influence as well in inside business communities where I could affect change.
Wonderful. I always wonder how much with regards to going back to childhood and how when you grew up in a primarily black community, I wonder how much of an impact people's views on racism has with regards to their childhood and what kind of environment they're used to. I always kind of say when I grew up, I started living in London as a young child. And my first year of high school, I went to a girls' school in London, and there were 36 girls in the class, and I was one of four white girls. Being a white girl, I was in the minority. There were girls from all over the world, from the Caribbean to Asia, you know, but white was the minority. And then I moved to Dorset, and for the rest of my time in high school, there wasn't one black person in the whole school. Right. And that it was a real unbelievable difference. And it can make a huge difference, I'm sure, in the States as well. But certainly in the UK, whether you grow up in the countryside or city, the kind of people that you're used to being around and used to seeing, huge difference. Is it the same in America?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's a lot of what what makes it so challenging, as you were saying, and people in denial, is because none of us want to believe that we were raised incorrectly. None of us want to believe that the way we grew up was harmful or you know, not well done, so to speak. And, you know, so that's part of the journey and lack of understanding. But also, like, our system purposely doesn't teach us about other cultures. So when we're going through this, we just don't know. And that in itself is harmful. So the only opportunity we have is through social interaction, which is what I was able to experience, what you were able to experience, that gives us this, hey, the image you're creating wasn't the image that I experienced. And so therefore I'm willing to and able to kind of challenge and see a difference.
I've had a message from another listener, Jason, who says, where does ignorance in people stop and racism begin?
So, I mean, that's a good, great question. And I think that's part of how racism lives because of the purposely taught ignorance. For instance, in America, we don't learn about any other cultures in our schooling until the 10th grade. We get what's called world history. And really what we learn is about European wars and what kings, became kings and things of that nature, but we don't really learn other cultures. I mean, I remember being taught in college world history that we don't learn about Eastern cultures because they never changed and therefore they weren't worthy of our learning this. I mean, this is what the teacher actually taught. And so by not learning something, you're actually learning to feel like this is the only way. This is what life is. This is human nature. This is that versus, and that level of ignorance helps perpetuate and continue racism, but it keeps us in denial because we don't know any better. We don't know anything that we didn't know.
Yeah. And how do you, would you kind of encourage people to ask themselves certain questions to identify whether they do have racist tendencies, shall we say, as opposed to being completely racist? But what kind of questions do you think people should be asking themselves to realize and understand whether they do have issues that should be worked through?
So some of the questions really are based on fears. For example, I had a guy in my that I met that was afraid to go into the Black community because he was afraid that they would want revenge. And I asked him, where has he ever seen proof that we get this idea that there's so much violence in the Black community, that Blacks are naturally a violent people. But where have you ever seen someone randomly go into a white neighborhood and just shoot up and harm white folks randomly, either church or a school or this or that? It doesn't happen. So this fear that there's going to be a level of revenge, we've been waiting on that to happen for 400 plus years, and that hasn't happened. So those are the types of things. When you start to feel difference, when you start to feel how or react to a situation, ask yourself, where did this come from? And what do I know or don't I know about this? And I also ask, what made us start this system and what harm is it doing to us and the planet?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a fantastic book that you've put together, and a great, great discussion that we've had today. I really appreciate you coming on, JD Mass. Thank you very much for joining us. And if listeners want to get a copy of the book, it's called Race for What? A White Man's Journey and Guide to Healing Racism from Within. JD, thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me.